I'd like to call the August 16th meeting of Ways and Means to order. Can I get a approval of the July 12th and July 19th meetings?
What's this background noise?
Let's get that be out. Second, Walter. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution number 11, requesting enactment of Senate Assembly Bill for the State Legislature for Hotel and Motel Occupancy Tax. We have a motion. Mr. Fabiano. Second. Mr. Walter. Discussion? We still do not have the study that was supposed to be done. The Benjamin Center is backed out due to staffing issues. So I don't know what everyone's pleasure is.
I move we postpone.
Chair Bartels.
I'll second the motion, but ask if maybe we can create or schedule another convening of the working group, even in the absence of that, to strategize and discuss how to move forward. We don't not at this moment, but just make that request.
Mr. Fabiano, just to clarify, is it you're postponing for 1 week or 1 month?
If the week is good enough, that's good with me.
If nothing's going to
be monthly.
Let's say, Ron, can you mute for a second? Somebody's got
background. There's a lot of background noise.
Sorry, it may be my air conditioner. It's 900 degrees outside.
It was your air conditioner. Okay. All right. So let's say, Fabiano, you're postponed for 1 month, seconded by Chair Bartels. Sorry. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
So carried. 289, amending the 2022-2027 Capital Improvement Program for Establishing Capital Project 635 ARPA Parks Program.
I'll move it. Sorry,
second, guys. Chair Bartels. Discussion? Chair Bartels?
Thanks. I have a question. First, a question and a statement. One, I want to make this statement acknowledging Legislator Stewart's work on this. Really, really good job and responding to all the concerns. My question, and I just, if you bear with me a sec, because I want to just pull it up, has to do with, there's in bold, there was a change that referenced, sorry, my computer, there was a change that referenced, in terms of the percentage, it had said county owned equipment, and the county owned was eliminated, and then but it still references county property as being used in the in-kind. Does someone have the language that they can call up at this moment?
Deputy Secretary Kelly.
Sure. So the discussion, thank you, Chair. So the discussion in the Public Works Committee meeting last night was to replace county with municipal or town, because the intent is not to obviously use our property or our equipment as a match for their grant application. So wherever it made sense, they were supposed to replace it with town.
Oh, that's great. That would answer my concern. It still says county resources, so I don't know if we want to make that change here. Are we prepared to do that?
Yeah, yes. I think before we left last night's meeting, or we got off of that resolution, I think that NETI was going to take care of that within the next couple days to change the wording before it came to the floor.
My estimation is that it just wasn't amended in our packet.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Through the chair to Legislator Runk. Are you saying that it was amended yesterday and then not in our packet, or
I'm seeing a lot of shaking heads, yes, from Legislator Nolan and Natalie. So
Natalie, if you can screen share the most recent, the most up-to-date version, then that may help.
Thank you. Is that it? That doesn't have the change because that says county resources again.
It looks like the first county owned before equipment labor was moved, but the county before resources was not removed. And both were intended to be removed. That was the request from last night. And so what we voted on was use of equipment, labor, or other municipal resources as approved by Ulster County Executive. So that whereas is to assign the value of the in-kind contribution.
All right, Chair Bartels and then Legislator Walter.
So if that's the case, either as a matter of housekeeping or as a, to be specific, could I make the suggestion that we strike that second county?
That's good.
I mean, if the committee would like it to say municipal, that's fine. It's as long as it doesn't say county, it's better for me. I mean, that's.
I have no objection to that.
All right, so that's a motion, Chair Bartels?
Yes, to strike the word county.
I'll second it.
Fabiano, any discussion? Legislator Stewart?
Hi, my apologies for being a few minutes late. I just want to say that last night in the Public Works Committee, they passed this resolution unanimously with one amendment, and that would be striking the words county owned.
Chair Bartels?
If I may, through the chair to Legislator Stewart, you missed my actual interview, Legislator Stewart. But now that you're with us, we've left the second county. I think the second word county remains a problem in that paragraph because it still says there are other county resources. So I've just made a motion to strike the second reference to county.
Okay.
By Legislator Ronk. I think that would address fully address the problem rather than allow it to stand.
Perfect. And I had requested that, and it was my understanding that the updated language would have been sent to this committee prior to this meeting. So I'm sorry that did not happen.
It's okay. It may have just been an oversight with the second strike through.
Right.
All right. Legislator Walter.
Thanks. So, I mean, I would prefer the statement that Legislator Fabiano said where it said or other municipal resources, just so that's clear. But I guess I'm also wondering when it said originally as approved by the Ulster County Executive, that was thinking it was county owned equipment. And does it still make sense that the municipalities, equipment, labor, et cetera, are approved by the Ulster County Executive? That still makes sense.
Chair Bartels, then Legislator Ronk.
Thank you. I had the same question. I mean, I think it still needs county approval because the county's approving the use of the in-kind resources at whatever criteria the county sets. I'm just not sure that we want to say the Ulster County Executive. You know, due respect to the Ulster County Executive, it's potentially a lot of very minutia specifics coming from the county executive. So I'm not sure that if the county executive's office wants it to be the county executive per se, the person, or if there's another office that would be approving the use.
Legislator Ronk?
Yeah, thanks. To your point, Chairwoman, I think that as Evelyn Wright so amply pointed out to me last year at one point, everybody on the executive side of the government works for the county executive. So I think that that's all encompassing enough to handle the, you know, like I'm sure it's not going to be the county executive signing all the purchase orders. I'm sure it'll be somebody else. But, you know, on the other hand, I do agree, I think, with you that we should leave a authority in there for approval because we want to make sure that the municipal resources that are being parlayed here are actually in furtherance of the project, not just, you know, well, we have two dump trucks and, you know, three excavators and the use per hour is X. So, you know, definitely, I definitely think that we should have a say there since we're, you know, putting a bunch of money in here.
Deputy Zigger Kelly.
Thank you, Chair. To address the points regarding the as approved by who, fine with removal of the county executive. I think being specific to Commissioner of Finance and ARPA division, since this is an ARPA project, would be appropriate. Part of this will come, basically the intent here is that we want to treat the in-kind services provided by the 20 different municipalities that will apply the same. So what we're trying to do is set a standard so everybody's treated equally, even if they try to assign different or higher or lower values, we want to make sure that for the purpose of this project that we're using a standard. You know, Dennis will certainly have some experience in this realm, but I do think it's fine if we just said Department of Finance and or ARPA, because that's who will be administering. Thank you.
Mr. Stewart.
I was just, thank you, Legislator Garvez. I just wanted to kind of provide a little background, if you guys will indulge me for a moment. This particular resolution has gone through many different iterations. Initially, it started out as a request for a single park project in the town of Marbletown that would also serve as a trail hub. And then based on conversations with members of the Public Works Committee, some of whom are sitting here, and also speaking with Deputy Executive Chris Kelly, we then changed that to $5 million for park projects across the county, and then that was changed to $2 million for park projects across the county. And initially, that was for 10 projects, and then we made it for 20 projects at $100,000 each. And at the request of Chair Bartels, I presented this resolution in front of the breakfast meeting of the town supervisors to get their input. And like I say, it wasn't like I was trying to pitch the project. I just wanted to hear, you know, their thoughts on how we could, you know, improve this in their view. And we got a great, response from the town supervisors. Something like 8 of them spoke out in favor of the project at the breakfast. And that didn't even include the 2 town supervisors whose districts I represent. One thing that the town supervisors were very much in favor of the in-kind language and the fact that up to 25% of that, of their 50% contribution would be in kind was something that they all expressed, obviously, a great deal of support for. And also it was pointed out that the town supervisors felt that this is something, that this funding was important to coming from ARPA because they felt that other funding streams were not near as, it would be a lot longer process. And they felt that, that they all had projects that they felt could immediately, that these funds could immediately be put to use. And so I just wanted to let you guys know that this did receive a lot of support from the town supervisors. And also another thing at Legislator Fabiana's request is that we removed language supporting trails. And as you know, I'm a big supporter of trails, but I could understand why people felt that, you know, the trails had already been addressed in other resolutions. And so we removed that language as well. So I guess my point is that there's just been a lot of different versions of this. And, I'm hoping that you guys will give it your approval this evening. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. All right, any other comments? All right. Now, do you want to put that up again and show what you just messaged me?
So, just as everyone knows what I have here, the county-owned strikeout is what was done last night, which is in your packet. The one that's highlighted in yellow is what I heard mentioned, but has not yet officially been motioned. So if this is not what the committee would like, please tell me.
Chair Freitas.
So that is what I officially motioned already, but one thing I did hear in the conversation was a request to change, rather than just to strike it, to change it to municipal. I would be amenable to that if that's what the committee wants. I'm not sure what the committee would like to see.
I'm comfortable with that. I also feel like if we're going to change Ulster County Executive to Ulster County Department of Finance and ARPA, I would be fine with that too. I feel like we should do this all as one.
All right, so just to backtrack here for a second, Legislator Fabiano, will you withdraw your second to the motion from before?
Yes.
And Chair Bartels, yes. Withdraw your motion, and then let's do a new motion.
Yes, I'll make the motion to strike the word county, replace it with the word municipal, to strike the word executive, replace it with Commissioner of Finance or ARPA committee.
Or and.
I'll second that amendment.
We can say and or. Whatever makes the committee comfortable, I'm fine.
I hate for it to be in the hands of one person. I would prefer, Ben Ostley, if it said and, not.
Okay, or. So let's get rid of or, Natalie. So and, do we want the director of ARPA?
Is that the title?
What is the official title? It's
probably got something to do with resilience.
Manager.
Deputy Executive Kelly, you're still there. You are. No.
There is Nate. Nathan. Maybe you can tell us what his title is.
Yeah, Nathan is there.
So I'm the director of recovery and resilience.
Told you.
Okay.
You're gonna get extra pay for that, Legislator Rock.
When you know, and I know that if it has to do with Pat Ryan, it's got to do with resilience. So it's all good.
All right. So that's the motion. Second for that.
I'll second it.
All right. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Thank you. All right. Resolution 298.
We have to do the resolution as amended.
You're right. That motion for resolution as amended.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Carried. Thank you. All right. 298, establish a policy to eliminate mandatory fares for Ulster County Transit. Can I have a motion? Sir Walter, second. Have a second? Second, Chair Bartels. Discussion? Chair Bartels.
Thank you. Two comments. I reached out to Deputy Executive Kelly yesterday. I don't know if I've seen it in terms of ridership. I'm wondering, that question was in order to better understand. I've heard some discussion about the implication of cutting the fares as it relates to getting our state funding. Can someone, the state and federal funding, can someone talk us through that, how that's going to work? And then I have another comment after that.
Deputy Zed Kelly.
Thank you, Chair. So the way that we researched the program, and a couple things that we really want to maintain. One is we need the state operating assistance, also called STOA, which is based on ridership actual and ridership miles, the miles you drive with riders on the bus. So what we did is we took 2019, and then we did look at the data for 20 and 21 and partially this year to determine what a kind of a safe number would be back into. So what we're proposing is approximately $350,000 annual, which would cover the fares for the estimated ridership. That also gives us some room for expansion, which is kind of the intent here, is that since 2019, we've been on a downslide due to COVID, and it hasn't quite rebounded. So we anticipate programs enacted that ridership will expand. But really, maintaining that so-called fare box collection will be based on the drivers counting the individuals as they get on, and then that turns into a bill that gets charged back to finance, who will pay UK. And that's kind of system, how that'll work to make sure each fare is covered. And when we send up to the state certifying ridership and ridership miles, it'll line out to the actual riders on the bus. So we're 100% intending on protecting state aid, federal aid, and this is kind of, this is the method by which I've seen two other municipalities do it. Kansas City did it through a mix of, I think it's an $8.5 million kind of budget gap for them to provide this service. And what they did is the city budget appropriated $4 million or $4.5 million, and then private donations came in for the other portion of that, to make sure that they also stay whole. We are required by, I think it's within the rules and regulations regarding the state aid, to charge a minimum of 30 cents and 10 cents if we were, so you can't technically fully eliminate fares and maintain aid, but we're just covering the fares for the individuals. So that was the methodology.
Gilbert, tell us you want to follow up.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I want to say, I want to also thank whoever put it in the optional fares. Mm-hmm. I don't really love the language, and I'm going to think about it for a moment because I might have a suggestion for the change in that language. But I appreciate that now that we will have optional contribution available, and I think it'll be very interesting to track that. And then my last question/comment has to do with the fact that this is open-ended. I'm assuming from the sponsors that this is intended to be permanent, but have we thought about this as a permanent change, or is this a pilot program? There is no end date. It's a policy that removes the fare.
Back to Jackie Zegg, Kelly to follow up.
Thank you, Chair. So our intention and in my discussions with the sponsor on this is to change the way that it's currently structured and do a pilot. So there's a lot of unknowns with this, including sustainability of the program long term, the effect on the transit system in terms of ridership. So I think that we were on board with October 1st of this year as the earliest start point, and running through December 31st, 2024 in terms of an endpoint, so we can collect kind of enough data, learn enough about how this affects the overall system, and then it's a decision from there. And I would encourage, as part of this, if this were to become a program, a pilot, that, you know, there's some type of feedback loop or requirement, so you guys can also understand the implications of a policy such as this and how it's actually operating in the real world, since this is not a real tested thing at this point. But we certainly wanted a pilot. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's share Walter.
Thank you. So I'll go backwards from what was just added. I guess the second part is whether we want to amend this to, I'll be interested to hear from Legislator Erner after on putting a date on it for now. And maybe I just totally heard this wrong, but Deputy Executive Kelly, you said that the state and federal money is based on ridership. Ridership can be tallied. If we have this free, there's potentially more riders. So is it potentially true that this will actually bring more money into the county?
Yes.
That's what you said. So yes. We can conceivably be making an added money for transit by having this.
Yes.
That's great. I'm glad I heard it correctly.
Chair Bertels.
So if, and I guess I would like to hear from the sponsor, I saw Legislator Erner's hand up, but if the intent is for this to be a pilot, why don't we have dates contained? Why are we creating an open-ended policy? And then my other comment, just to get them both out at the same time, there's language that, and I realize this is minutia, but on page 2, the last resolve related to the optional contribution, resolve that the fare boxes on fixed route buses shall remain in place with an optional contribution encouraged from wealthier riders. I'm wondering if there would be it would be amenable to change that to from riders who can afford to do so.
Ms. Turner?
Sure, thank you. I'm fine to even just strike the word wealthier. We can just leave so that the fare boxes are just there and people can pay with what they will. As far as the end date, and that was there from the beginning, just so you know. But I did hear support from other legislators for it, and I thank them for that, and from the public as well. I want our county to commit to free transit is the bottom line. If that is an obstacle right now, I could support the pilot language, and that is what we did talk about, as Deputy Kelly said. But I want us to just consider, for example, how much money this is in the grand scheme. I know this is a Ways and Means Committee.
AMES. I should have a bunch of stuff.
And
somebody's not on.
And so it was about 350K in 2019, the last year that before the pandemic. Of course, it dropped to half that. And we're talking about the fare box revenue. Of course, it dropped off in the first year of the pandemic. But basically, the preceding 5 years before the pandemic, fare box revenue is 5%, at most 7% of the entire operating expenses. This is an amount of money that's being charged on the backs of the poorest residents of our county. And unlike the gas tax holiday that we enacted, which is not guaranteed to go back to the folks necessarily in the county, like passers through, the UCAT is mostly ridden by people in our county as well. So this is really something that will benefit, again, the poorest people in our county the most. So that's why I'd like it to be a permanent policy. But if it needs to, I'm just repeating myself at this point. Yeah.
Chair Bartos.
Thank you, Legislator Erner. I'm comfortable then not putting dates if the committee's comfortable not putting dates and knowing that we're going to go ahead and evaluate it at the end of next year. Anyway, I would like to make the motion to strike the word wealthier. I think that's an excellent suggestion, not even replacing it with something else, just to strike that word. I just don't like the dichotomy it sets up.
Can I have a second for that?
I'll second it.
Second, Fabiano. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on? I know, Legislator, you tell you had your hand up before.
No, actually, Legislator Erner said exactly what I was thinking, and I'm really, really grateful to him for helping push this forward, and to the county executive's team for being receptive to it.
Thank you. I have no other comment. I'll just comment. I did hear some discussion going on between Legislator Nolan and Legislator Fabiano prior to the start of this meeting, and I actually happen to agree with them. I think there might be some opportunity here where it's not 100% free. I know if you put a box there, you expect people who can afford or want to put money in will. I just don't think that's realistic. I don't think people are going to do that. I think, if anything, you might have a better opportunity of doing a sliding scale fee that people are pre-approved with an approval card, and that's what their, you know, fee is based on. I just, you know, to go completely. And then just the other comment is the estimated impact was 122,000, but Deputy Secretary Kelly, I think you mentioned a lot more than that as the impact. Can you clarify that?
Sure. I'll just, so to the second part of the statement, we're estimating $350,000 annually as an impact to the budget that we have to fill in order to claim full state aid that we believe we're entitled to based on ridership. Also, asking for $75,000 to advertise that this is now a free service. We have to let people know in the most loud possible way in order to have the intended impact. So that includes replacing all signage, posting the fares everywhere, reaching out, wrapping buttons, whatever it takes. And then the final portion of this is the biggest piece of feedback we've received from transit ridership groups, legislators, complaints that we need to have more efficient and more modernized and more dynamic routing for the system. So we can make it free, but if it's not efficient, then it's not going to connect as long as you use. So part of it was $25 for routing software, and in current words, not pre-launch, but in some sense,
pre-launch. Debbie Kelly, you're very choppy. Your words are very choppy. It's hard. Okay. We were getting most of what you said, but
okay.
The tail end of what you're saying started to really get bad.
All right, 800,000. That includes advertising and scheduling software. So that would be for the full 2-year, 1-quarter pilot. To the first point, regarding a sliding scale, it already is. We have a very convoluted fare schedule, and when we were discussing this internally, we think that the bureaucracy involved is not gonna, in the most inarticulate way, the juice isn't worth the squeeze on it. Most of the ridership is already part of a certain socioeconomic group. Why would we then exempt 90% of who rides it and create some type of measure to make people qualify based on AMI when that's just gonna cause more backroom? So that was the perspective we think that it's actually more efficient to make the whole system.
Okay, thank you. Chair Bartowski.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the sentiment to want to have a sliding scale, but I don't want to see that. I like the idea of it being free. I actually believe that people who have the ability to pay will pay. There are models like that, museums in New York City that have run on that model for as long as I've been going to those museums. Substantial museums like the Metropolitan Museum of Art, $25 to get in, and if you're a New York State resident, you pay what you want. You can go in free, you can pay a dollar, you can pay $50. So I like the spend on advertising, not just advertising that it's free, but I think we should really take an opportunity. And in another committee, we talked about this. You know, we have a bus advertising, transit advertising policy. We've never really embraced it, but a kind of a rebranding of our transit at the same time that we're rethinking the routes. And I think that I think in the end result, like we're seeing tons of tourism, like go crazy with the bus wrapping. I said this the other day. I mean, wrap that bus in that I voted sticker. Like, I mean, make it crazy. So people will be like, wow, that crazy pink bus, you know, it might make tourists want to get on the bus too. And, you know, use the bus in addition to those who are using it for transit. And I can only hope that as a result of this, our ridership doubles and triples, that we actually meet the people and their routes where they're needed, and we get people out of their independent vehicles and into communal vehicles. It's great all around. There's so many benefits to this. So I'm glad these conversations are happening, and I look forward to hearing more about them. I'm excited to hear that we actually might end up making more money, which we can reinvest in transit. You know, which is what I'd want to see done with it. So this is exciting all around. Thank you, Legislator Erner and Petit, for putting this in, and thank you to the executives team for working on this. I think we're in a really good place.
Thank you. And with the discussion with Deputy Kelly about the logistics of it, I'll strike my comment about the sliding scale. I think that's a good valid point. Legislator Erner, you had your hand up. Do you still want to comment, or you're good?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay. All right, so all those in favor as amended? Opposed? So carried. You're opposed, Mr. Fabiano?
Yes, I still feel that there should be a working with some kind of mechanism in there that we're going to collect some money from riders and not like a honor system or anything of that. That bothers me.
So noted. Thank you. All right. Can I have a motion to block 308, 309, and 310? Chair Martell, second. Walters. All those in favor?
Aye.
So carried. All right. Discussion? Chair Martels.
Thank you. So we don't have the appraisal back yet. It's in the works. I'm sorry. I know it's frustrating to hear. We're pushing to get it before next week's meeting. I cannot comfortably say that it definitively will be here before next week's meeting, but I will keep the committee apprised. I would ask at this point I do have another comment, but I will be asking for a 1 week postponement on these three in the hopes that we can get the appraisal by next week. I also just want to alert this committee, and I've been in discussion with the chair of the environment committee, that some concerns have been raised regarding SECRA and the segmentation of SECRA. Through Council Gordon, who's here with us today. I've asked Council Gordon to write a memo to this regard. There are specifics to this project, but it's a bigger issue about SECRA across multiple projects in the county. And so as soon as that memo is in place, we'll circulate it to not just this committee, but the legislature as a whole. We'll also be looking to work with the Environment Committee and to train the Environment Committee and have them be sort of the committee of jurisdiction on SECRA across the board, which I think is something that's been lacking in this county up until this point. Not that SECRA's been lacking, but having a legislative, one place of origin. So we'll be bringing that forward as well. So I realize I'm touching on two different things, and the immediate is that the appraisal is not here at the moment, so I'm asking for the week. But I'll hold making the motion for postponement to allow for other discussion.
Thank you. Mr. Kale.
Thank you. So through you, Chair Gavars, to Chairperson Bartel, sorry. So when we requested this appraisal and when we hired this appraiser, did we let them know that there was a timeline here? Because I got to be honest, I'm growing a little frustrated, with not being able to get, right. we're paying to do this service to actually, supply the service that we're paying for on our schedule, not on their schedule. So I know you said you want another week, but I'm going to say this right now, that if we don't have it next week, I'm going to recommend that we cancel that contract and find somebody who can do it expeditiously. This is a big project and we have a lot of things that have to be considered with it. This is one of them. And it's really, in my opinion, the most important one as we go forward right now. And so I would really like to, somehow or another, ask this appraiser to really, get off their butt and get this thing done for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Martels.
If I may, thank you. I share the frustration, not as a matter of excuse, but just as a matter of background. It was communicated to the appraiser the need to move expeditiously from the start. The contract held out a longer date, which at the time of signing, I pointed out that the contract held out a longer date, but internal discussions had been had, and they said they felt confident they could get it in at under that date. I will say that this isn't something that I've been engaged in lately in terms of appraisers, but given what's happening in the real estate market, I fully expect that we're going to see this appraisal. If it's not in time for next week, it's going to be within a matter of days on the other side of the, which is what's so frustrating, on the other side of our session. Even within that time from the time of signing, that would be considered at this point in this market a very short turnaround. Appraisers are in some cases taking 3 and 4 months, which is what the executives team had said to me when we talked about a second appraisal at the start. They talked about how we could expect a very long turn time. So again, I'm not making excuses. I'm saying that even getting it within the next 2 weeks is a shorter term. If we started from zero, we could expect another long turn. I share your frustration. I also think it's critically important that we get this second look at these numbers. And I appreciate people's patience, albeit frustrated patience. Thank you.
And just to sort of anecdotal evidence of this, as Chair Bartels just pointed out, we just, for the Elma Hospital, we just had an appraisal done on a neighboring property that we were interested in adding to our parcel. And that took just over 3 months because there's not a lot of comparisons, a lot of comparables. So it's harder, especially for commercial property, for them to really come up with an accurate number. So, and we just got that last month in July. That was a little over three months. Legislator Kale, did you have a follow up or you're good? Good. Okay. All right, so Chair, Bartels, you want to make that motion to postpone?
Thank you. I'll make a motion to postpone for 1 week.
Second.
I'll second it.
All right. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
So carried. Thank you. 343, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 9 of 2020 for the Glenwood Village property taxes. Have a motion?
I'll move it. Second. For discussion. Fabiano.
Discussion? Chair Bartels.
Thank you. I'm trying to pull it up as I'm moving, but I understand that the amendment that we discussed has been made, which removes the county's culpability for properties before the resolution takes place. I just want to confirm that.
Don't recall.
I'm looking for it right now. And while we're looking, can I also just confirm I'm comfortable moving it forward given if said language is in there, but I also just want to ask if anyone has spoken to the mayors of Saugerties and Ellenville.
I can say I spoke with Ellenville and there's a memorializing resolution that they had, we're pretty sure they adopted it to support this local law. Very enthusiastically supported. Chair Bartels, I'll come back to you if you want to still look that up and I'll go to Fabiano. Legislator Fabiano?
Yes, I haven't gotten to speak to our village mayor here in the village of Saugerties, but I'm pretty sure that legislator Maloney did, and I feel that they're very much on board with this also.
And as I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, if part of the law would be that there has to be an opt-in, so the village does not have to do this, so the support would come at the time of their decision to opt in.
I wouldn't have wanted.
Can I just through, is Council Ragucci on the line? Can Council, I just yes, through?
Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Would you like me to read the proposed amendment language for yes, purposes please. Of our discussion? So I was working closely with minority counsel as well on this, and the amendment would include a new sentence to section 2 of the local law as follows. Delinquent village taxes existing prior to the effective date of any such agreement shall be the sole responsibility of the village and shall not be collected, reimbursed, nor re-levied by the county.
So great. I'm glad I asked. So it's not in yet. May I make a motion to include that language? Obviously it would be pending sponsor's approval. Sponsor's not here, I don't think. Is Legislator Maloney on the call?
He's not.
No. Okay. So pending sponsor's approval, can I make a motion to include that language? I can read it again.
Yeah, Second.
I'll second it.
Okay. And so, Natalie, the language says delinquent village taxes existing prior to the effective date of any such agreement shall be the sole responsibility of the village and not and shall not be collected or what was your
collected, reimbursed, nor re-levied by the county.
Thank you.
And I sent a copy to Natalie as well prior.
Great.
Any discussion? The only comment I'll make is that I can understand the reimbursed part in terms of making the village whole, but if in terms of levying it, I don't see a downside to that.
I'm happy to take out that word. We were following fairly closely an opinion that we had found dealing with this issue, and they mentioned re-levied, but we can certainly take that word out if that's your preference.
It's just my topic. Chair Bartels.
I don't have an I don't feel strongly either way. I feel that obviously once this law goes into effect, we're going to get past the need for this this clause pretty quickly. Like it's only going to apply to things that have been long outstanding. So whatever council feels comfortable with, I'm comfortable with. I just want to make sure that because we don't have the data in front of us of what we're potentially facing, this I feel like protects the county.
Yeah, my only reason for this comment is that, you know, so the way it reads currently based on the amendment, it would be, so if we pass this, let's say it by October, anything from 2021, 2022, potentially, if there's outstanding, even though they won't be foreclosed upon yet because they haven't hit the 3-year mark, the way I interpret what this amendment does is it would then not include those amounts. So I would say anything not foreclosure eligible, I would, if there was a better way of saying it, by eliminating that part and just include anything that's beyond the 3 years now, which I think that's an easier way of doing it. I just don't know if there's a cleaner way other than to take out the re-levy part, because you're correct. After this first go-round, then that problem goes away permanently. Chair Bartels?
And I just want to echo Chair Guevara said that's my intent. That's exactly what it's not my, if there is a property or if there were a property that had 2 years delinquency at the point of the agreement, I would not have such a great concern about the county stepping in and after the third year continuing its process. I'm more thinking about those properties that are already foreclosure eligible and are not being foreclosed upon. If council, it depends on what the committee wants. If council would like the week to get language that's comfortable for everyone, I'd be okay with that. And again, I just want to say I'm comfortable with moving this forward with that protection, which I think we share the intent. So I think we're in a good place to finally make this happen, but I'm okay with waiting a week if that's what council needs and what the committee feels comfortable with.
Councilor.
Yeah, upon hearing the comments and my communications with minority council contemporaneously, I believe we both agree that re-levy is not a necessary word in that sentence and that we could take it out and still achieve our goal.
Would Chair Guevara's concern be addressed in terms of a property that's 1 year delinquent at the point of the agreement? Would that year be wiped off or would that year go toward the 3 years making it foreclosure eligible?
I don't believe the year would be wiped off. No, it would be eligible. So I think it would solve his concern.
Okay.
So we can do one of two things. We can rescind your second, Legislator Fabiano and Chair Bartels, and then redo it, or make an amendment within the amendment. Legislator Fabiano, I think the cleanest thing would be for you to rescind your second. And Chair Bartels.
I do.
Thank you. All right. Now the new resolution, the new amendment, Chair Bartels, if you want to. recap or counsel in place?
I'll have counsel.
Sure. Delinquent village taxes existing prior to the effective date of any such agreement shall be the sole responsibility of the village and shall not be collected or nor reimbursed by the county.
Yeah. Okay. So hearing that, it doesn't solve my problem because it says collected. It would not be reimbursed, I think, is the only part that should be remain in there. Because if the county collects it, great. The reimbursed part to the village is the concerning part. Chair Bartels?
I'd like to make a suggestion that we postpone it the week and just okay. Have the moment to get the language perfect, have a consensus, include you, Chair Gavaris, and sponsor in the conversation, along, of course, with the representatives from the other villages, and let's just get into a place.
Postpone that for a week.
All right, Councilor Gucci first.
Sorry, just a quick comment, Chair, and I just wanted to clarify something, and I'm happy, of course, to perfect this language prior to next week's meeting. Pursuant to the tax law, we can't collect if we don't reimburse. So I think that's why we had both of those words in there.
Yeah, I think the week is a perfect opportunity because I don't mean it to I think the village should get the money. I just don't think if we don't get the money, if we don't foreclose on it, that we're not making the village whole for previously owed liens on the property. I think that's the part we need to clean up. So I think taking the week makes a perfect sense. Going back to Legislator Cahill, sorry, I cut you off before. Legislator Cahill.
I'll do it. I'll withdraw.
Okay. Chair Bartels.
Yeah, and I was, I just want to again reiterate that I think the aim is not to affect those properties that are coming upon the 3-year eligibility. It's about those that are already foreclosure eligible.
So then maybe that's the way just even to say it is that foreclosure eligible will not do that for foreclosure eligible properties prior to the voting of the approving of the resolution. Chair Bartels?
Yeah, I think we should take the week though to get it right versus doing it.
I agree. I'm just sort of.
Yeah. So I'll make a motion to postpone for 1 week.
I'll second.
Well, through discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Thank you. All right. 401, amending the capital project number 598 for community wellness hub and crisis stabilization center. Can I have a motion? Chair Walter, second. Chair Bartels, discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 401, approving the issue of a contract for $158,850 for Mirico Design Architecture. Can I have a motion? Walter, to second. Second, Fabiano, discussion. All those in favor? Opposed?
Aye.
So carried. 407, amending the 2022-2027 capital improvement program for establishing capital project 645 renovation to 21 Elizabeth Street. Motion, Mr. Walter, second. Second, Fabiano, discussion. Mr. Walter.
Thanks. So there was a request for some information from Deputy Executive Ryder regarding whether the renovation costs included the architectural costs, and there are a couple of other elements that he hasn't been able to get back to us. He's away right now, so just a request to postpone this also for a week to give him a chance to give us that updated information.
Can I get a second? Chair Bartels, is in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
May I ask a question?
Oh, go ahead.
I'm in favor of the postponement, but if I may also just ask, I know Deputy Executive is not here, but maybe one of the other Deputy Executives can bring it to him. If we could also see the full budget for the proposal again, just so we understand where this portion fits into the bigger picture. Thank you.
All those in favor? Opposed?
Aye.
So carried. 410, Move amending the 2022 Ulster County budget to accept increased funding from the New York State Office of Addiction Services for medical assessment treatment. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter. Second. Mr. Cahill, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? It's okay. Aye. All right. 411, approving execution of contract amendment for $92,500 for Hudson Valley National Center for Veteran Reintegration.
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second it.
Fabiano. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. I don't have 400 on my agenda.
409.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Sorry. For resolution 409, approving the execution of a contract for $180,000 for Labella Associates. Can I have a motion?
Move it.
Second, Fabiano. Discussion? I said Walter.
I believe this is associated with 407, so just ask for the postponement on 409 as well.
A second.
Chair, I'll second it.
All those in favor? Opposed?
Aye.
So carried. 412, approving the execution of contract amendment for $92,500 for Jewish Child Care Associates in New York.
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second it.
Fabiano, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Aye. 413, approving the execution of contract amendment for $61,536 for Gateway Industries. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Mr. Walter, second. Mr. Cahill, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed?
Aye.
So carried. Authorizing easement across lands for the Ulster Delaware Railroad Corridor. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second. And second. That's Mr. Fabiano, discussion? All those in favor?
Opposed? Aye.
So carried. 416, approving the execution of contract for $199,792 for Interfluve Engineering. Can I have a motion? Walter, second. Chair Bartels, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Your opposed, Legislative Kale? Okay, sorry. 418, authorizing the required steps for transfer real property for the town of Ulster. Can I have a motion? Senator Cahill, second. Walter, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 419, establishing capital project 644, site ready services for electrical vehicle charging stations. Can I have a motion? Senator Walter, second. Mr. Cahill, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 421, approving the execution of a contract for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000 for J&J SAS Electric.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it.
Fabiano, discussion? Chair Bartels?
I heard some discussion about the electric bus charging stations and the distance that the buses could travel on the charge as a limiting factor in terms of assessing routes. Are we starting to investigate alternative bus charging stations in other parts of the county in order to be able to expand and really think about those routes in a more expansive way?
Deputy Secretary Kelly.
Thank you, Chair. So this is on resolution 421.
Yes.
So 421 is for kind of like the charge point chargers for our fleet vehicles and the public. These aren't for the UCAT buses.
I think it would apply to both. I mean, it was on the previous. I just didn't get my hand up fast enough. We were talking.
Oh, okay.
Charging. But I feel the same way about the charge point charging in terms of, I mean, if we're eventually going to get to the point of having sheriff's vehicles that are all electric, which is where we're all headed, we need to think about charging stations across the county and certainly in some of the farther reaches. And so I'm assuming that this is happening. I just want to verify that we're starting that work.
Yeah, I can speak to more of the UCAT side, just in terms of we are looking at a robust capital plan in order to make the green fleet a reality. And part of that is charging. We're also looking at the manufacturer buses. So we're going to be reissuing an RFP in order to see what else is out there in terms of bus manufacturers, because some of them do have longer ranges right now. But that is certainly part of a study that we'll engage in with the Transportation Planning Committee.
Legislator Cahill.
Thank you. So I thought I asked this last time this came up, but have we established where exactly these are going, these charging stations on, and are they going on county-owned property already? Is that how this is going to work?
I'm going to go to Planner Doyle because he might be able to answer that, but he also has a question.
So let's take that in two parts, Legislator Cahill, and thank you for thank you for the opportunity. One is with respect to the resolution, it's my understanding that all of the charging stations that we're talking about with respect to the resolution would be on county-owned property. It would involve properties associated with the UCAT buses. They would also involve properties in Ellenville, and then also properties associated with the fleet management work, particularly back behind the social services building. So that's the first thing. The second piece, to go back to the chairwoman's question, we did an electrification study with the Department of Environment. The Ulster County Transportation Council paid for a portion of that. That electrification study has a bus replacement schedule associated with it. And it also has a look at where, given the current routes, it's most likely will need charging stations. Those include depot chargings, obviously, at UCAT, as well as charging stations somewhere in the city of Kingston or north of the city of Kingston, and then in the New Paltz area as well. So that those areas are looked at. There's actually a design document within that electrification study to take a look at a charging station that would actually fit within the plaza area. So we have some layouts for those charging stations. The other thing that you should know is that when we engage with VIA with respect to the NYSERDA project, we had a long conversation with VIA, and VIA doing work with respect to, since they're going to be using small electric buses, they were looking at the availability of chargers region-wide, where that service was, particularly with respect to New Paltz, Ellenville, and Kingston. Kingston has a plethora of charges. We're actually extremely ahead of other communities with respect to the amount of charging stations that are available in Kingston. Our concern was with respect to Ellenville, and we do have an opportunity in Ellenville that the Department of Environment has discovered and worked with that's adjacent to the mental health center in Ellenville, the Resnick building down there. So the proposal is to take a look at that area and put charging stations in there. That would also serve the county fleet, and if we're fortunate enough to get the VIA grant, become an opportunity for VIA buses. Last but not least, we've engaged with Patterns for Progress, which is doing a region-wide look at charging availability associated with the whole region. And then finally, the New York State Department of State is taking a look at charging facilities on major state routes. It's the interstate system as identified as critical resource areas by the Department of Transportation. So the work around trying to make sure that there's enough charging stations is ongoing. It's quite extensive. And the real question is that one of the other conversations we're having has to do with school districts, because they're going to probably be moving into the electrification world as well. And the most recent passage of the bill that just came out of Congress is likely going to add money to electrification and climate change. That's a pretty comprehensive answer in terms of that question, I hope.
Chair Bertels.
Thank you. Yes, that's very comprehensive, and I appreciate it. And I especially appreciate the consideration coming into the middle of the county. With regard to the second resolution, I realize we're talking about two at the moment, the J&J SAS resolution. I do have a question. I'm sorry I wasn't at that committee meeting. All of the proposals for those locations are Kingston, county-owned property in Kingston. And I'm wondering, are those charge point systems proposed to be supercharging? I don't know what the charge point terminology is, but the high speed charging, or are they the slow charging systems?
That's a great question. I don't have an answer to that. It's level one and level two chargers, and then there's DC chargers, fast chargers. I believe they're level one, but I'd have to go back and check. They may be some level two chargers in there as well. I'll leave it at that. I just don't know.
Can you come back with that information? I mean, I think it's really important that we're starting, particularly as it relates. It's one thing for a fleet that's coming back and is going to stay on site and be charging overnight. It's fine. And even potentially people could take them home, although I don't know how much they'd want to charge them at their home if it's a county vehicle. But in terms of sheriff's vehicles and needing to you know, reach all over the county, I think we need to really think strategically where we're placing these charging sites. You know, we just heard that Kingston has a plethora of charging stations as opposed to other communities across the county, and they need to be charging stations that are high speed. I don't frankly know how many high speed charge point charging stations there are in this county right now. I will do the research. But you can't, you know,
There's a great mapping site that you can go on and you can find all the charging stations. We'll send you those links. And what I would suggest is that I'll reach out to Nick from Department of Environment to address this. They are very much on top of this, as are DPW, in terms of locations of where these chargers should go.
So, but it's not, what I'm saying is it's not just locations. You know, the idea that, you know, for example, Gardner, you know, we got a grant and we have two charging stations in a public charging area near our library, which is right adjacent to to the rail trail, similar to the charging stations that are out front from the county building. You can leave your car overnight and get, I don't know, 70 miles. You know what I mean? It's not, we need high speed charge. Like, so much has changed in such a short time that we need to be changing with it. So I just want to make sure that we're spending this money in a way that's keeping up with the changing times.
Chairman Hills, I think this was also discussed from the chairs meeting the other night, and that was Deputy Secretary Ryder. I thought he commented on this, that they were all level twos, but as I pointed out, and you're reiterating tonight, that is not sufficient anymore. And I just don't think it opens up the opportunity for additional users for this. And I don't know if any of the other deputy executives know, but is there a master plan? Because to me, this sounds like a shotgun piecemeal approach to doing this, but is there a plan for to do a master plan for electric vehicle charging throughout the county that integrates, you know, I mean, like, for example, I hate to knock the Worsing because I live here and represent it, but quite honestly, they put a charger at Lippman Park. Lippman Park's in the middle of nowhere, kind of, really. There's no services unless you're going to the park, which is really just a walking trail. How long are you going to be there that's worth for you to actually plug into? Most of these charging stations are in, like, the Kingston Plaza, there where you could do shopping, you can get some food, you can, you know, spend an hour or so there and get your vehicle charged, but on a fast charging pace, not on a level one or even level two now. Level threes are the way most places are going. Legislator Cahill.
Thank you. To expound on that just a little bit, has anyone coordinated with the towns? I know that our town has at least one EV charger in their town parking lot, and I'm sure that there are plans to put them in other places. Has that coordination taken place so we're not, like, you know, saturating one area and then neglecting another, right? Because I think, you know, that's a possibility of something that may happen.
Well, I mean, my sense is, to the resolution, what the county is trying to do is take care of its own fleet. So that's what the resolution is doing. It's not basically the other work that you're talking about in terms of coordination with the towns. There are studies ongoing right now, for example, Pattern, to take a look at where charges are and where they should be. The other thing is the charging situation is evolving rapidly, not only in terms of the types of charges, but also how it's administered. And we're seeing companies come out now with something as known as charging as a service, where essentially you don't install the chargers, the company will install the chargers, and then you pay a little bit more to hook up to them. So that's the other model that's out there. And a lot of the residential complexes are looking at that model in terms of charging as a service.
I think just to add to Legislator Cahill's point, I think that's an excellent point of the towns and the villages. You know, we're going with green with our fleet, and I think, and you know, and to be fair, we have the funds to be able to do this. I don't know that the towns and villages do have that kind of money to be able to change over their fleet so easily. And here's an opportunity for us to make our own fleet green, but also encourage them to make theirs as well, and benefit us both. All right, any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 422, supporting a grant application for the FTA for administer 5307 funds. Can I have a motion? Walter, discussion, or second? Fabiano, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Approving the execution of a contract amendment for $32,884 for NICOMCO. A motion? Question, Walter, second? Okay, a second, Fabiano. Discussion, all those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Authorizing the chair, the Elsa County Legislature, to execute a grant contract with New York City Coalition Against Sexual Assault. Can I have a motion? Chair Walter, second. Artels, discussion, all those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 425, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute a grant with New York State Office of Emergency Management for a multi-jurisdictional, multi-hazard mitigation plan. Can I have a motion? Chair Walter, second. Chair Artels, discussion, all those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 426, approving the execution of a contract for $120,284 for New York City Sheriff's Association. Can I have a motion? Chair Walter, second. Chair Bartels, discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 427, approving the execution of a contract for $60,333 for Beertra Inc. Can I have a motion? Chair Walter, second. Fabiana, discussion? Mr. Yushta?
Thank you. I just wanted to say really quickly that there was a very, very in-depth conversation at law enforcement about the different levels of product that the sheriff was looking at for this. This is a active shooter and de-escalation simulator. This is the least expensive version. And I know that it was asked, at least by one member of this committee, as to whether we should be looking at the more expensive version. And we determined that we would like to move forward with this one, because even if we got the more expensive one down the road, which we have asked the sheriff to explore in the, you know, as he's making his budget, even if we did get the more expensive one, that would be a stationary item, as opposed to this, which can actually be brought into the field and can be shown to the public at different locations. So even if that more advanced product is explored and deemed, you know, valuable to purchase down the road, this is still a valuable purchase to have as well. And that's, I wanted to close the loop because it came up with a couple members of this committee prior.
Great, thank you for that. Any other discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 429, approving this user contract amendment for $11,366.61 for Eaton Corporation. Can I have a motion? Senator Walter, second. Fabiano, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 430, approving the execution of a contract for $82,043.28 for Vicom Computer Services. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second. Cahill, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 433, authorizing the conveyance of county-owned property to the original owner. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second. Cahill, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. We've got some forthcoming resolutions. Is there some new business? The budget calendar, has everybody reviewed it? And are there any issues? Okay. Now, do we have to formally adopt that, or we can just, no? Okay. Thank you. I know, Controller Gower, you said you didn't have anything, but one last opportunity.
Next week. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. If nothing else, can I motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion.
Mr. Walter, second Cahill. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thank you all.